All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
What's going on?
I'm Scott. So basically what I'm saying, Scott, is get a private jet because I need a friend with a private jet.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday podcast, Behind the Wheel podcast. I'm Scott Ruben Koenig. Luis from Koenig's here. We're here. We're doing the thing. So if you're coming over from the live that we do every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, that we do on Instagram and Facebook. Welcome. Make sure you know, any questions you have, especially for our guests, just put them in the comments. We'll be happy to answer them. Real quick, if you're on YouTube right now watching us, first off, thank you. Second off, please make sure you subscribe and you hit that notification bell. Super important to some of the giveaways that we're going to be having coming up, in the next few months.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be doing them only on YouTube. So for those that are coming from Instagram, but I'm going to take these off for a minute. That are coming from Instagram, but maybe not are subscribed to our YouTube channel, you're going to miss out. That notification bell is super important to some of the stuff we put up. Also, if you're really bored and you want to check out a garage tour of my personal garage, I know, make sure you check the YouTube channel.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, I've been to this guy's house.
Yeah.
He's 220 square feet. The most efficient I've ever seen. Honestly, you want something, he has it. It's weird. Like, you know, you want an ice cream cake, he has it in somewhere in one of his drawers.
Well,
that's how efficient it is.
I think most people could have guessed that I would have had ice cream cake.
Yeah. Well,
right?
No. Yeah. See, I don't mean it like that.
Yeah.
It means like
right.
I like ice cream cake.
All right. All right. Anyhow, so don't forget what we're doing. This week's video that will be live on Friday. Every Friday, we put up a piece of content on our YouTube channel. We try to make them fun. We try to make them light. All right. Max is still here. He came in. We get a little nervous when he walks in.
Yeah.
So he's working on something. But, yeah. So make sure you check out our YouTube channel. And every Friday, we drop a piece of content. So look out for that. We try to make them funny. Try to make them humorous. So if you haven't seen any of them, check them out.
Also informative. Because, you know,
sometimes.
That's, you know,
most of the time.
Yeah. I think this one this week is kind of going to be fun.
Yeah.
Especially for those people who are true car enthusiasts and people who work on their cars and try to keep it pure in some capacity.
All right, for sure. So let's get right into it. I want to get our guest in here. This is a good one. If you guys, I'm sure that many of you are here to see this specifically. We have so much to talk about. I have been friends, and I'm happy to say that. Not everybody do I say friends with, but I've been friends with Alberto for.
You have to say it. Like, you know, from Puerto Rico, you say Alberto.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how to say big boost in Spanish, so.
Right.
He's going to, he probably could tell us.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to stay in my lane. You're Hispanic. You can do this stuff. I can, you know, you're.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So anyhow, let's get him in here. You already know him. He got his start working on cars, doing the car thing. He's from Puerto Rico.
Yes, yeah? But he's from the United States as well. Yeah. Well actually,
Puerto Rico is
born
the
in the
United
States.
States. Come on, man.
True.
You're making us look ridiculous here.
Well, is it though? I don't know, you know.
What do you mean is it? It's not a question.
But it's not a state. Anyways,
it doesn't matter.
We can ask Boost.
All right. Anyhow. He also if you have followed along, especially if you're a fan of Adam LZ's channel, you've seen the skills that he has and what he has put down. He's doing his own thing. He's off building race cars, living that life.
Yes, sir.
And educating America. We're going to get into it right now. Anyhow, welcome, Alberto Big Boost. What's happening, man?
I wish, you know, we need some claps up here.
Yeah, how's it going? Am I on now?
Yeah, there you are.
At a risk of sounding like a rapper, can you give me a little bit in the headphones? That's the max. Well, we're a little quiet, and I can't hear much. Anyhow, what's happening? Thanks for doing this for us. And hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. This is fun.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, we have so much to talk about. I literally said to Luis before we started, I said, you know, we really got to be on this thing because I want to be able to get as much as we can done in the hour yeah. that we're on here. You know what yeah. I mean? So let's see. Where do we start? Like, I want to start with some of the things that people don't know about you. And I'm an Alberto Big Boost subscriber, so I've seen a lot of the content you've put up. But I think that there's this, while you've alluded to some of the things that had got you into cars and where you come from, give us a quick the punchline of getting into cars and coming to Florida.
Getting into cars and coming to Florida. Well, back when I was still in Puerto Rico, I used to like drag racing. I started in the drag racing scene here in Orlando at a small track that used to be called CFRC, aka Center for the Racing Complex. That then later turned into a drifting place that was very popular. It was called the same thing, CFRC Skid Pad, which was really amazing. Then got shut down. I don't know why, because it was a really fun place to drift. But
yeah.
that place, I was going drag racing, and I saw how amazing the drift events were, the energy, you know, the nice vibe, everybody having fun. And I said, I have to get a 240.
Yep.
And then I ended up getting a 240, got an SR20, you know, your typical basic drift car back in the day. It was a classic. I mean, they still are. And I started drifting. It was the best decision I ever done. It, to me, is basically one of the most fun motorsports that you can get into. And you meet a lot of really cool people along the way as well.
Yeah, so Alberto, when I think I first was introduced to you, it was as somebody that was watching Adam LZ's content. And all of a sudden, I see this mechanic. I'm just throwing it out there. So this mechanic that is helping to build an engine for Adam. That's my first introduction to Alberto from where I sit. And what's so cool for me as a car guy is that you were given so much technical information that I hadn't ever seen on Adam's channel before, right? So but this is not. We're not dissing. We're not talking about it. We're just putting out things. So all of a sudden, you know, you were talking about like some of the different things you were doing with the 2J and the builds you were working on and stuff like that. And what instantly resonates with me is the fact that like I'm that technical guy. You know, I build engines. I build cars and I do a lot of that stuff. So seeing you do that stuff and just being a regular dude was one of the things I think that really was like started to make me like, all right, man, I like this Alberto. Yeah. You know what I mean? Alberto's like, is my people, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, basically, when I started doing or appearing on the videos, was just normal guy talk. I don't know, Adam will ask me, hey, could you just elaborate on like what you did on my engine?
Yeah.
To be honest, back then, I didn't even like to get a camera pointed at me. I was very camera shy.
Yeah.
But I basically talking to the camera as if it was a normal person just asking me, hey, what do you do to the engine? Like, can you like tell me a little bit about it? So I just talked to the camera as if I'm talking to a friend, and it just came naturally the way I was able to explain what was I doing. And then a lot of interest was shown on those type of videos, and it grew into something way bigger than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah, it is something that's super interesting, because I think, you know, you, whether it was intended or not, and I think that that's the piece, like Adam's channel really, I think, and I, you know, I could be wrong. You know, I don't want to speak for Adam. I'm just saying as a point of view of somebody that consumed the content, I felt like his channel and the channel direction really started to take a larger turn from that point on, because all of a sudden he was really highlighting a lot more of the building. I know he was starting to do that anyway, but really was highlighting a lot more of the building. And then, you know, together you were putting in a lot of this technical information that for somebody like me, that's what kept me going. You know what I mean? I'm not like just personal taste. I'm more of a, you know, I like to watch people build things, construct things. I want to find out, you know, some of the builds that they're doing versus some of the things that maybe I have never done before. And I'm not like, you know, in it for the vlog. I'm not in it for, you know, these different things. So it was just a different element of content that I think changed. And now, and you still see that level of technical stuff today in a lot of Adam's content. So I think it's interesting because I kind of do feel like it was, you know, again, not intentional, not like, you know, I'm not saying, oh, Alberto, way to go. You changed Adam's content. I'm just saying, like, I think it's just, you know, sometimes you come to these forks in the road that just change things and change your own direction.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that what Adam and I were doing sparked up a bunch of automotive influencers as well. You know, what we were doing at first was just like your normal, I guess, regular hangout and just talking about it, and for some reason it grabbed a lot of traction. A lot of people show interest into that type of video. So when I started YouTube stuff, I was just basically just doing it naturally. I wasn't doing it to create a channel or anything like that in mind. I basically got requested into making a channel as a shop owner back then. I was like, man, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work. You know, I'm already handling a shop. I don't know if I have time for that. Yep. Then that one day that we'll never forget is that I said one time, you know what? I'll give it a shot. Let me see what I can do. The next day, I had over 10,000 subscribers waiting for the first video. I was mind blown. I was like, well, this is it. I got an audience now. There's 10,000 people waiting for me to put content. Let's do it. So I just like did my natural thing. It was like I started editing on Windows Movie Maker. And, you know, it took forever, but I started producing some content, and it's been a lot of fun along the way. It has never been something that's, you know, pushing it or trying to act like I'm just trying to explain something way out of my league or nothing. You know, if I don't know about a subject, I won't even touch it, or it might get a little too complicated, but it's been a lot of fun being able to explain what I do, and it seems to have helped out a lot of people with their own cars by stuff I'm just explaining what I'm doing on mine, and it seems like it's very valuable information.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, for me, just again, just bringing it back to my experience, is that when you really got your channel and you were starting to build the E36, one of the things for me is that I always admired BMW, but my general outlook on European cars, you know, even though I like them, is like, don't own them. because I'm honestly, from a guy that has a lot of mechanical aptitude and I've built a lot of different things and engines, there's just something very different about some of the German engineering that comes along with these packages. And you went through the Vanos system and you explained what it was and you took it apart and you showed some of the keys. So for me, it was like a legitimate, like, I watched that series because I was learning things that were mystified to me. You know what I mean?
I still kind of want to touch back at some point again with the BMW engine, since I had a lot of failures with tune-related issues.
Yeah.
I was never able to utilize the best out of my engine build, and it didn't really work out very well until I switched over to the 2JC, and then the best combination engine I have done to my own personal car was born.
Well, I don't think you're alone in sharing some of that sentiment. Do you think that there's an opportunity in the future that maybe you'll pick up another E36 or E46 just to do a different build and maybe keep like a, you know, kind of keep a BMW power plant in it to kind of chronicle that?
You know what I always wanted to try ever since I seen these videos from Europe where they have the M50s and for some reason they put them like straight instead of on an angle.
Okay.
And then they do equal length headers and they sound like a 2J.
Well, I guess that makes sense, right? Like it's kind of like the Subaru thing, like for, you know, it changes that exhaust note, right?
Yeah, the unequal length manifold from the BMW makes it naturally sound like with that rasp that it has.
Yeah.
But if you build an equal length manifold, it sounds like a 2J.
Yeah.
It's a really nice engine.
It's funny, for those that don't really know what we're talking about with the exhaust note and things, if you are very familiar with, let's say, Subaru, I think it's most probably the popular exhaust note that people could equate it to.
Yeah.
It's got that very, almost like sounds like you have a cam from when you listen to the exhaust, but really it's because...
sounds like you have a misfire almost.
That's right. but really what it's from is the fact that the headers are unequal length. And when you go to, when you take a Subaru and you put like an equal length header on it, you even out the exhaust note and all of a sudden it sounds very much like not a Subaru.
A Honda.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it because now you're going to get me beat up. Like I'm going to be walking down the street.
It sounds like a V series almost.
So when Adam first ran into you, you were at, Turbo Florida, right?
No, I had my own shop called Kaizen Performance.
Okay.
Back in Winter Garden, Florida.
Okay. And so then when, then where was your, what was your progression? You moved on from, you went from there to?
There I went to Central Florida Turbo.
Right.
Where I was operating the mechanical part, still as Kaizen, working for Central Florida Turbo.
Right. And then from there you moved on and really started working more with Adam specifically.
Well, I was, originally I was trying to work out of my own driveway.
Okay.
But then I was in a home that had no, a rental house that had no HOA or anything, but I had a neighbor that didn't like me working on cars very much. So, I got a letter from the city saying I couldn't no longer work on my own car on the driveway unless it was inside the garage and with the door closed.
Right. That's it.
So that's where I talked to Adam about possibly working over at his place. And I started working over there as well. And then I was basically working over there almost every day. And then that turned into like a full-time basis.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some of the things that have transpired that kind of have shaped the way your content and maybe your path have followed. I think the one thing I feel like you haven't really had a lot of clarity to be able to talk about when we start talking about, and then I want to move on from the whole, because I don't, like I know Adam in a professional sense, but I don't know Adam in a personal sense. I don't really want to, you know, elaborate, but your relationship, with Adam, when you decided to, depart from, you know, LZ manufacturing and go on your own thing, there was a lot of people that I think pointed the finger, like that there was this bad blood and, you know, I know you personally and understand that that wasn't the case. Like you've always been very, had a lot of respect for Adam. You've always been, extremely, like you, Adam was your friend. Like that's the best way I think I can say it.
I basically spent the majority of my hours in the day basically hanging around him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'll wake up, go to his house, spend there the whole entire day, either hanging out and working there, then just go back home to sleep and do it all over again the next day.
Right. So this wasn't about, your move out of there was not about bad blood. Adam didn't do anything to you. You weren't mad at him. This was just a sense of you were trying to do something for yourself, something different. You saw that there was a path that you needed to be on that you couldn't do while you were working for Adam in a sense.
Yeah. So basically if you want to get into racing, it's nearly impossible to be the head mechanic for a bigger team if you want to also start competing yourself. So we had additional help at the shop, or you know, I basically had a replacement, and from that I was able to then get my own shop, start moving into there and work on my own stuff and get the E36 project going, then pursue racing, and that's where I am right now, like finally working to have my own racing program officially this year. Where last year I did try clutch kickers the last round to see how it was to do it myself, to see if I was capable of doing it. And I'm pretty confident I can actually get into the competition and have a good chance of doing very well, right? As long as I focus and have a proper racing program and a proper working car.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I just the reason I only want to touch on it was because, you know, it's difficult for me, who's become friendly with you, to and Sharon, to watch things go down in a way that, like, I read people's comments and, you know, when somebody knows the truth about it, you know, like, I want to jump in and just be like, you don't know anything, whatever. But, like, that's not helpful. You're never going to win on the internet. But, you know, I knew that when your motivation was whatever, originally it was really just because you said, look, I have to be able to have my own space. Like, I can't work on all my projects. Adam's got too many cars. Like, he has, you know, he had a lot of cars that you guys were always working on. He had a lot of builds in progress at one time. There was no way that you could work on your own cars, your own program, and do it in that space anymore. So you were like, look, I'm going to get, right? Originally, I think when I spoke to you, you were like, I'm just going to get this little shop so I can have a place to keep my stuff and, yeah, and work on my own car and get things ready. And you're like, and maybe I'll even film some video, some YouTube content there, obviously, just to, as I'm doing things.
Yeah.
And then, the timing on videos, especially since, you know, we talk about YouTube, the way it worked out, I think people just got this wrong idea that was you kind of like, you know, telling them like, I'm out of here. But that was never really the intention, and you didn't do it with hostility. You moved on. And you got this cool, dope little shop that you've been working at for, well, I guess it's been a couple years now, right?
It's been about a year and a half or so, almost, yeah, 2 years now.
Yeah. And so, dope mural on the wall, by the way.
I think favorite. That is the highlight of the shop.
And for people that haven't already, on our YouTube channel, we did a garage tour with Alberto Big Boost.
Yes, we did.
Yep. And it's up. And
it's up, yep.
You can see everything.
Even to the little chair that he has.
The little chair, that's the best part. Between the mural on the chair, those things are indestructible.
Right.
the school chairs, yeah. That's...
I think it's so interesting. And, you know, one of the things I think I love so much about Alberto's content, like I've said before, is the educational value that I get out of it.
Yeah. For right. Sure.
You have done some really interesting things in your career, but I find, because we're super proactive, we really enjoy the opportunity we have to provide educational content on, you know, about wheels and different things that we know on our YouTube channel. But we also like the fact that we can be contributive to the car enthusiasts and the motorsport community. And you're now doing something that is right along those lines that a lot of people, I don't know if they know about it, that I think is so important, not only for your path, but also for, you know, the car people of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I do have fun, you know, educating people. You know, it's basically passing the knowledge. Something I seem to develop pretty naturally. I'm not going out of my way to explain these things. And then I'm also able to provide really good value to various companies. You know, like, it's not just a regular install video. It's a little bit more detailed so you can familiarize yourself with the product, the technology behind it. Why are we using this over the other and so on, which provides a lot of very good, data and how to's, you know, common mistakes that you do installing something, the proper way to do it. Well, a lot of the times the main failure point of certain products is improper installation or improper maintenance and such.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, is like, you know, going back to when you were doing the BMW build and you were using the BMW power plant, when you had some of those tuning failures, you were able to rip it down on camera and really show exactly what happened and why the cause was what it was and how you knew that. And then you brought that education, you know, straight up to the channel. And I think that that's a valuable piece that people, you know, sometimes overlook.
Yeah, tearing down an engine and being able to tell exactly what happened by looking at the failure, you need to completely understand what the role of each individual part is. Yeah. And then you'll notice the type of failure, and you can recreate a scenario in your head about what happened, along with some data passed down on the computer. You can see the data log, you can see the parameters of what happened, and you can get you really close to figuring out what exactly went wrong.
Yeah. So one of the things that you're doing right now, which is a new path for you, but I think is so vital to being able to, I mean, it's dope. I mean, and you're there right now. So,
yeah.
So tell people what, you know, for people that maybe aren't super up to date in your content or some of your social, what are you doing right now that's a totally different thing for you?
I am officially passing on my knowledge to the new generation or in future generations of automotive mechanics. And I became the new racing professor at MechTech Institute.
That's so cool. Yeah,
no, like I can do what I'm doing already on YouTube, but on an official level, you know, like I'm provided like legitimate education to students. And like, I just love seeing their faces of motivation when they realize that Big Boost is going to be their professor. So they get not just a regular class, but they get a bonus from the additional knowledge that I can provide to the class from all my years of experience in the field.
Yeah.
Now, and possibly adding some drifting knowledge into the curriculum as well, which has never been done before.
Yeah. Now, do you make them call you Mr. Boost or Professor Boost?
He's like, yeah, I'm actually in the classroom right now. You know, I have my little Christmas drag tree.
Nice.
It's a cool little background decoration. It's also part of the furniture in the classroom where I am right now.
That's awesome. What has this position taught you? What are the things that, you know, kind of as you start to teach this curriculum, what things do you gain out of this?
Well, like one of the things you have to be true to yourself, no matter how much you know about cars, there's no way to know everything. And what I like about this is a great opportunity to spend time, you know, teaching my stuff about cars. And believe it or not, out of the same class as I'm teaching, I'll either refresh my head with old stuff that I have forgotten about cars and also learn new things. Like they have a really big drag racing program at school. And I find that fascinating where they have 5-second 2JC cars and 6-second and 5-second rotary cars. It's incredible. You know, they're running like 100 PSI of boost. There's no textbook that's going to tell you how they build those things. But here, we teach how all that stuff works. And I'm very intrigued about learning how they do all these things. You know, I got pretty adept at building drift cars. I know the technology behind it. I love being a pioneer that's always like in the front lines trying to figure out new technologies and tricks to make the drift cars better every year. But with drag racing, it's a whole different game. And it seems like it's going to be a very interesting year. Also, another really cool thing that I have here that I'm super excited to use is that we have our in-house mainline dyno, which, you know, I'll be able to probably use quite a bit. And I'm also trying to learn how to tune cars from now on. I mean, at the end of the year, I might start tuning cars for other people.
Right.
You know, I think that's one of the most like fulfilling things when you kind of get a passion, you have a passion, and you've gotten to the level where you are, and now you're passing on that knowledge, and you know, you're creating new legacy for yourself, you know, so that's awesome, you know, to hear that you've gotten there, and you could just tell that you're excited about it. So good for you, man. I wanted to just say that, you know.
Yeah, education right now, I consider it the most priceless thing you can give somebody.
Yeah.
Like with proper education, it's like it can get you to do so many things that you cannot do without, especially in the automotive field. The more knowledge that you have, the more that you have to provide, you know, make more money, get new opportunities, etc. This endless.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because we were talking to Kelsey a few weeks ago, and she was, like, participating in some of the all-girls drifting and kind of educating over there. And, you know, you kind of realize, like, you know, we're, you know, even though it seems like it's bigger than it is, you know, we're kind of in the beginning stages of drifting blowing up. So having people like yourself and Kelsey kind of being able to teach the new generation, I mean, you know, what more can you ask for? You know, you got these guys who are on the field doing it, telling you how it is and what you can do and how you can apply it towards what you're working on, you know?
Yeah, I think there's this other piece, too, that chronically gets lost, you know, with the importance of education. There's a twofold thing, and it's something that we feel the same way with, which is by telling people and educating people, you're not only giving them knowledge to be able to do the tasks themselves, you're giving them kind of like an olive branch to be able to continue the sport, right? So, you know, if I teach somebody something on the younger generation, then they're going to use that and hopefully, you know, compete, do whatever they're going to do, which then helps push the sport forward.
Yep.
Right? And so what happens is if you cut education off for drag racing, drifting, any one of these sports, and you take people out of it, all of a sudden what ends up happening is you inadvertently are changing the lifespan on that sport, right? So the more education that's out there, the more we're really basically advocating for motorsports and for these things to stay current and stay relevant and allow people to do them, which keep them in the spotlight. And that's what allows our sport to go forward. So, you know, help people. Don't tear people down. Like, build them up.
100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. And so now you go from being Professor Boost during the evening
that's Mr. Boost.
I'm sorry, Professor. Mr. Boost. So you do this education thing. How much are you teaching a week?
Well, right now I'm here 4 days a week.
Okay.
Weekends off completely to work on my stuff, afternoons off or vice versa.
And
it's a decent commitment, you know, like I think dedicating time to this, I see it as a personal project where I really want to be involved in this and go all in and see where I can take it.
No, I told you about this when you told me about it originally, and I said, this is such a big thing. Like, it really is, because one, I think, you know, it's interesting as when you're teaching somebody something, you easily find the things you don't know. I don't know if people, if you've never taught anybody something, you find those people, you're like, oh crap, you know what? Like, I know all that, but why don't I know this piece? You know?
Exactly.
Makes you better. It does. It makes you better.
Through the same class curriculum, I can learn those blanks again and relearn. It's almost like I'm going back and revising everything that I have forgotten that I don't use throughout the year. So I like it because it's also a way of continuous education for myself.
Yeah, no, it's great. And so you get to apply these things to a program and a race program.
Well, yeah, because I wanted to mention it because as a new fan of Boost, you know, I've seen the E36 for a while now, and it's kind of exciting when you announced that you were running your own program and, you know, now you're competing in Clutch Kickers. Tell us about the program, man. Tell us how it is to balance everything out as well, you know, being a professor, being a full-time motorsports drifter, and, you know, just tell us all about it.
Yeah, it's a lot to put in a plate, you know. The good thing, like I said, I'm in school Monday through Thursday. I have the weekends off, which is perfect for racing, especially Clutch Kicker being Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's well balanced for what I need to do right now. Then, you know, also like working at the school provides additional funds for racing. It also provides another place to bring the car, you know, like I'm actually, I have the race car parked in the parking lot. I drive it to school right now.
Nice.
I'm using it as my daily commute car too. Every time I get it, when the weather's nice, I drive the race car to school and you know, like seeing the faces of all the students, it's priceless. I love it. They all loved seeing the car, rev it a couple times in there.
Imagine being a student and that car pulls up on your in your school lot. You'd be like,
you think it's one of the kids.
I wouldn't even go back inside. I'd just be outside the whole time.
You think it's one of the kids, and then all of a sudden Professor Boost gets in, gets out. And it's wild though. Like, so with your program this year, I think there's such an interesting depth to this, right? There's such an interesting aspect to this, which is that your channel, when you were doing the YouTube thing, I mean, I don't want to say when, because that's past tense, but like, you know, with the YouTube thing, when you do take a sponsorship on from a company like a Permatex or whatever it may be, you know, often these companies are either going to hit you with product in exchange for exposure, or maybe in some situations, money for in exchange for exposure. I know you've been very true to only working with companies that you believe in the products and you work with already. So it's not like you would ever do it the other way. But what's interesting is that what's different about that situation is now as you head into racing in a way where you're putting a more of a real program together, you're looking for sponsors that are now there for you as a driver, you know? So how has that changed as you start to look for sponsors for your race program versus maybe your YouTube channel?
Well, so far I had like really good success with the sponsorship for the channel, where I can provide a lot of knowledge on installation of the products, feedback, technical feedback, you know, like every time I get a product, I'll analyze the whole thing and I'll give him, hey, you could have like probably improved here. There was issues with this. I gave him lots of data back. In racing, it's mostly about the exposure of the product being used. It's another pitch, not necessarily pitching like, hey, I'm the best driver, I'm gonna qualify top three every event, etc. You know, I'm over here like, hey, I'm already doing the product installation, review, usage. Now I'm gonna also add track use conditions to the product and provide additional feedback and exposure at the track. Where it has proven a little difficult this year is the transition from, you know, getting product to actually getting financial support from some companies. It can vary. Some companies, their best interest is to send you product, and then they use that as a form of currency towards you. You know, like, hey, I can give you product, but I can't give you money. So here's, let's say, $1,000 worth of wheels or something, instead of giving you $1,000, but you're using the wheel, etc. You do the content, you have the product you're gonna continue using on your car, and you get tons of exposure back. People can also relate to the product in the car. And yeah, this year has been a little tough since we were adding some of the numbers for how much it's gonna cost for clutch kickers alone per round being a local. And I was pretty shocked with how high the price was.
Well, it's interesting. I'll see if Max can put those numbers up on the screen, because we were talking about this and you said, hey, I'll send over some of these numbers so you could see exactly what I mean. And we did. So this is a good example. I think let's use this as, you know, education. We've spent so much time on it today. Let's talk about it a little bit more. So people don't understand, maybe when they look at a Clutch Kickers event, they assume that these people just throw their cars on the trailer, grab some gas, they have some tires, of course, and they just go there and compete. But let's talk about some of these numbers. You estimate, Max, give me a scroll to the top if you wouldn't mind. Give me a scroll. There we go. Max is on it. So tires. You talk about, look, for the event, practice, running the event, etc., I'm going to budget 20 tires, $175, about $3,500.
The price for tires can vary depending on your tire consumption, depending on, you know, horsepower, alignment, I'm on a laps that you're trying to do on practice and track conditions. An example that was very surprised in a positive way was when I went to Clutch Kickers, when it was at Emerald Coast Speedway, you know, I'm putting my numbers as I'm going to use a set per every two laps, like we do at FD and everything else, right? And then here I go into practice and I'm getting 4, 5, 6 laps per set. I'm like, wow, okay, my number just totally went down.
Yeah.
But yeah. Now that number had to be recalculated. Good thing I have experience running at Freedom Factory, where that's where the Clutch Kicker Series is going to be held. And it's very similar conditions to the Orlando Speedway Oval track, where you have, like, when you have to run the bank, like in my conditions, I have to run fourth gear, which is over 100 mile per hour wheel speed. And you go through your tires very, very quick, not just by the wheel speed, but the track conditions, as the track surface is very coarse. So it eats the tire very quickly. But now I still haven't taken into consideration that you do have the oval bank, then you have a little part through the cement part, and then half a moon of the other one. I haven't done that layout, so I might get a little bit better life expectancy, maybe 3 laps. But then the problem is that you will end up with some scrubs. Let's say you go into battle. If you have 3 laps out of your tire, you have to dispose of the tire after the second lap because you won't be able to complete a lead and a follow again. Yeah. So you still have to end up assuming that you're going to get 2 laps per battle and then with some usable scrubs for later.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, you know, there's a lot of reason that people have practice cars or quote unquote missile cars that are, you know, they're much different than, let's say, their pro car. They'll use cars that make less power because of the fact that they know that less power means I'm going to consume less tires and et cetera. And so what they're looking for is a way to practice without and get seat time without having to basically drive their costs through the roof.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now with, you got a G35. I originally bought it with rotten knock and everything, got a really cheap deal on it and fixed it. And I'm going to use that as my practice car, not necessarily a missile. I would like to keep it nice, yeah. But the lap per dollar on a G35 making 280 to the wheel on, like, let's say, on 265 per JA tires, you can run 1 or 2 weekends on 1 set of tires.
Yeah.
Compared to 2 to 3 laps per tire on a race car.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference monetarily to get practice and a lot of seat time on the car without having to spend a lot of money on practice.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Max, throw those numbers up real quick again. I want to kind of run back through some of this stuff. So, I mean, these are some costs that people just don't get. When you're going to run the event, it's one thing if you're going to go by yourself, but if you're not, you have, fees for the competition. You have miscellaneous that are going to show up. You have people that you're either going to pay to help you work on the car, or you're going to commit to the fact that you're going to be wrenching on it by yourself and grinding and hustling, and that's fine. But if you really want to be competitive, you know, sometimes as a driver, you need to be able to focus as a driver and not always be worried about what's happening mechanically, right?
Yeah, you can do it all yourself, but it's so much that you have to do in so little time sometimes that you might not be able to make it successfully that way. And these numbers are also counting just the basic needs per round, not counting any parts that break or that need replacement or spare parts that you might need also for the track.
Right.
Where, you know, you might need another set of suspension arms or another set of coilovers and stuff like that.
Right. And so now we start talking about the expense of having those people, right? So you have hotels that now you need to account for because, you know, they got to sleep somewhere and unless you have a really nice trailer. That's not going to work. You have fuel costs to get to the event, and you have the fuel that it's gonna you're going to need to actually run the car for the weekend. You have the food.
The fuel prices are subject to go up.
Yeah, no kidding. way to bring that one, Boost. Don't teach that one in class. Yeah, it's brutal. Gas, you know, it every day continues to go up. So, you know, that's one of those subjective costs that could, you know, go up or down. And then I look at another cost that's a very real cost when you have a team and you have sponsors. Event media.
Yep.
That means we're paying somebody to take images, do videos, do things, because I have to give stuff to my sponsors.
Yep.
Yes, it's crucial when you're a sponsor driver, especially when you're doing something like what I'm doing, where, you know, you're a YouTube influencer, we have your core exposure from the events, aside from also having additional clips of footage that you can provide back to your sponsors. That is where you have also very good track value for them. And, you know, like if you are getting sponsored for racing, you need to provide media back. If you don't have any media, then you have nothing to provide of value back to your sponsors.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Like right now, at Clutch Kickers, I believe there's about 10 media persons allowed per the event. So if you don't have a contract with a media person, then you have no media unless you just want to film behind the fence the whole time.
Yeah.
And so, that's not going to be very, very high quality content.
Right. How does it work for you when you're trying to YouTube and record for the channel while you're racing?
It's extremely difficult. You definitely need help.
Yeah.
There's no way to film yourself like a vlog style of everything. I mean, there's parts where you can fill in as a vlog, but most of the time you need another person aside from your helper with the car to film what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might miss out on 99% of what's happening at the track.
Yeah. It's tough. It's like, you know, your focus, you know, you want it to be on driving when you're driving, but then in the same respect, you know that you need to be able to chronologically film and cover and document the entire thing for yourself, or else you don't really have anything to put up. You can't miss a whole day and be like, oh, it went well.
Sometimes you feel like you want to do that, to be honest, because some, like, at times you might be extremely tired from driving or something. Like, well, you gotta get up. We gotta film. We gotta do all this stuff. It's like, you gotta suck it up and do it.
Yeah, and so I think as we start to round out here, I think it's so important that we mention Sharon. Because I think she really spends a great deal of time trying to help you in the things that maybe, yes, you know, you're not super great at. I also think she helps you with a lot of timing things. And, you know, it seems like she's been a really huge supporter for you, yes, even in tough times.
My biggest supporter indeed. Probably right now, so we're making this video, she's probably arranging something for me to be doing next.
Right.
So I'm always having my hands tied with so much that I'm doing. She's always in the background just getting stuff done. So she kind of like the next things that I have to do. And I'm very appreciative of what she's doing. And it without her, it will be extremely difficult to keep doing what I'm doing nowadays.
Yeah.
So a big thank you to Sharon Sita for everything that you're doing.
I think
that's what they say. Behind every great man is a great woman, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Shout out to Emily. That's my girlfriend. Sorry.
This guy, man. He's gonna like.
I had to take that moment.
I know,
to say.
But like he does it. But like now, if I don't like now, I feel like you know.
Shout out to Tiffany.
You know, here's the thing. It's like, you know, like that's not. Yeah. All right. So all right. We're moving on. But yes, I mean, I feel that way 100%. I just am not a touchy, lovey, feely. You know. But yeah, I mean, it's been refreshing to know that even when times have been tough, that I see Sharon on a personal level. She's always got your back, and it's so difficult to be in the spotlight. I'm not, so I don't have to worry about that. But like, you know, when I see like, you know, you in certain fashions or interacting with people on social or whatever it may be, it's tough because everybody has this keyboard to hide behind and they can make these comments without really any obligation attached to them. There's no, you know, they're just a comment they could throw out there in the space. And so to know, you know, somebody like Sharon is there and has your back all the time, man, it's incredible.
She's a very, very nice person. Does a lot of things for me, does way more than you would ever expect. And she always goes above and beyond for everything. And, you know, like, she helped set up the podcast. She helped set up the stuff with the videographer. She does an amazing job getting along with all the video people at the track.
Yeah.
She's like my guest, no, not guest relations. What am I saying?
Public relations.
Public relations. Yes. She's amazing at that. She's always, as Sean, you know, when you meet her in person, she's always very nice, always smiling, always laughing. And she always has a really good vibe around her. And people, like, once they meet her on a personal level, they love her off the bat.
Yeah. And it's interesting because she comes from a kind of a public background as well, right?
Yeah. She hates it when I say it.
Okay. All right. Well, then I guess we won't say it. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble here. I'm just saying, like, you know, she has a pretty cool job and she does. Just go look at her on her social. This way we don't get in trouble and you can find out all the things that she does.
Yeah. So,
well, and one thing I wanted to kind of talk about, too, is like, you know, and obviously for those watching and listening, you know, a lot of these things, obviously, as you could tell, are self-funded, you know. And one of the most important things with someone like yourself, Boost, is kind of like support from the fans, but also from, you know, your movement and stuff like that. And I think you with your shop and all, I love when I'm a fan of someone and they're not just asking for help, but off like giving me merch to kind of support the event. And like you have your bigboostshop.com where you can get yourself a t-shirt, you can get yourself other type of products for your car and stuff like that. And that doesn't just go into his pocket, that goes into his journey, you know. So
exactly, it's like it's a way to help me achieve my goals, but I'm not just like going out there asking for money. I'm giving you something in return or a service exactly. back while I use those funds to fund all this other program stuff. You can see like doing Clutch Kickers alone, which is one of the grassroots entry-level events, it can get pretty pricey where you need a full-time job alone just to afford to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And that's a lot of people, they don't do that, man. They go out there, they ask for money, and this is not the same thing. This is him saying, you know what, this is I'm going to give you this in exchange for you to help me out. And that's honestly a symbiotic relationship.
You have to offer something equally or higher of value back
for
the person or company to, you know, want to work with you.
Yeah. Listen, man, well said. I, you know, there's some people that you meet along the way that are just so real and genuine and exactly how they are, you know, on YouTube or whatever it is. And you're one of them. And it's been a pleasure kind of getting to not only have a relationship with you guys, but also to kind of be a small part of the journey that you've been on. So that's awesome. And thank you for that. What does your channel, what does your path look like? What do you see for yourself over the next 3-4 years?
Well, there's gonna be some changes depending on which route the motorsport industry takes.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff up in the air. There's new technologies being developed. Like I said, I am kind of looking to get into the whole tuning part, but you know how I am. Once I get into something, I want to be like one of the best at it. So it has something that has been intriguing. I might hone my skills even further from school and be able to provide even more detailed build videos. There's going to be other stuff that's coming later, maybe summertime, that are some really big plans that I've been working on since last year.
Yeah.
And that's going to like also provide additional steps of stuff that you can relate to and get yourself out there and into the whole racing world. Like basically I'm covering everything. Like I wonder what else should I cover? You know, I'm covering the education part, actually teaching the education in person. I'm going to teach you other stuff that's going to be steps where you can either, I don't know, maybe I can make a video how to build a shop or stuff like that. Like there's a lot of stuff that I can provide useful knowledge for people who want to get in this field.
Yeah. I would love to see you document more of some of the stuff you're doing, like when you're teaching, kind of seeing some of the time lapse of the teaching and what kind of stuff you guys are doing. I'd love to see, you know, more.
Yeah,
of that
I should
prepping.
Be able to get some of that footage. I just have to get authorization here, and there's a couple of forms, you know, sure. Students, the whole thing. If they're down for it, that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, so it's just interesting to know and see all the things you're doing, and I know that behind the scenes, in a personal light, you have a lot of cool things that are on the horizon. I'm super excited to see how they pan out. I think it's going to be monumental for you, the channel, and a whole bunch of other things that I'm trying not to say so that I don't allude to things that people misinterpret.
Yeah. Also, you know, behind the scenes, I never flipped the computer around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Take us for a walk.
My unique classroom.
Love it.
In which other classroom do you have an actual rotary engine that is fully functional on a stand?
Wow. And I presume that one has Apex seals in it that work, huh?
Oh, yeah. The Apex seals are good.
So, but like, listen, this is a real deal, you know, motorsport classroom. And I tend to think when I was in that college range, there was only one program that had even started to talk about aftermarket performance or motorsport performance, and that was a UTI program that was just at its infancy. And I think programs like this that are available for people to not only embrace their passion, but you know, this program, they leave with a certificate, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So these are important for people that want to, you know, like you say, like, what's the value of a certificate? Well, if you have the certificate, you know, and you want to go get a job working in automotive performance and you don't have the funds to open up your own shop, it's one extra thing that you have on the other guy walking in that's like, well, I've built a lot of cars or whatever it may be. Like, you're going to go into a shop and you say, hey, like, I would like to work here. Be a mechanic. I would like to work on these things. I like to build these things. And they say, what can you do? And you tell them what you've done. You'll show them some of the things you have. But now you have a way to say, hey, I've been formally, you know, trained and stuff. This isn't just me figuring it out in the backyard.
Yeah, no, this provides a really good certification, especially being able to say, let's say you're a student and you want to get a job at a performance shop. And they ask you, hey, do you have an experience building? And it's like, one guy could say, yeah, I built a couple engines before here and there. We ran like 11 seconds, whatever. Or you have the other guy that graduates from here and says, hey, they taught me how to completely blueprint machine engine and do everything, all the different type of materials using in modern engines in racing. And all his has a lot of knowledge on all the techniques and why do certain upgrades and how to do them. I would rather hire that guy because that guy knows what he's talking about. He knows what, like, everybody needs to know to be able to make the proper installation and combination of these racing engines. It's not just throwing aftermarket parts together, but what materials and specs you're using in combination to achieve your goals.
Yeah. No, it's important. It's awesome. I'm super glad that you're the one doing it, and I'd like to see more of it on your YouTube channel, because I think that's something that people will really, really benefit from, just seeing the fact that these educational resources are available to them.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So listen, man, I don't want to keep you anymore, but before we get out of here, I do want to give you the opportunity to say anything you want to say, plug anything you want to plug, but I'm sure at this point, all the information...
Well, I have all his information. If you want to know more about Boost, if you don't know, which I'm sure well, you if you're know, here,
but if you
know
just
want already,
to make sure you're up to date.
All his information is in the bio, from his website to his Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff is all on there. His two Instagrams, because he has his shop Instagram too that you should be following.
Yeah, and I think, Luis, you also put the link to my OnlyFans account down there too, right?
Yeah, hey, I wasn't gonna advertise that, okay?
Well, listen, I'm trying to make a few bucks too. Let's see. You got a lot of great comments on here. They're all positive. There's nobody asking too many questions, but man, between Sharon and I could tell so many of these people are your friends. Leon's in here. You just tell you have a good support system, and it's super exciting to see. So. But yeah, man, if you're not paying attention, well, stay tuned, watch for Alberto coming to a Clutch Kickers event and, see if you can roll out there and actually see some of the stuff in progress.
You know what I see from here? I see the wheels that I want to put on the practice G35.
What do we got?
They're right behind you.
Oh, these. Yeah. These
yes. Ones?
Oh, yeah, put some hexaforms on there.
Yeah, too.
The hexaforms.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been staring at it the whole time. I'm not staring at Scott. I'm just staring at the wheel.
Listen, man. We know who's members of the OnlyFans account. So, all right. Listen, we're going to get out of here. I appreciate you spending so much time with me. I know you guys have a busy day. Listen, we really appreciate you, Sharon.
Yeah, thank
and,
you, Boost.
And everything that
you
did.
Yeah, no, thank you guys.
Right?
It was awesome. It was a lot of good information forward out, I gotta get ready now for classes in a little bit. So that's also another task I'm excited to do.
Yeah.
I got my racing class at night.
All right.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. So cool. This is the drag racing stuff?
Racing fundamentals.
Oh, nice.
So it's a generalized class to introduction into racing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, maybe one day I'll have to creep down there
same.
And get a guest pass. So
I might have to go
in a lecture.
This morning I was talking in the electronics class about atoms and how electricity works. And now at night I get to talk about how racing stuff works.
Pretty cool. That's amazing.
Hey, listen, I'm glad that you know about atoms. Atomization and fuel stuff is probably right about the area where I just
zone out.
Right. No, I'm right there. But then right after that hard, steep cliff, So, but anyhow, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Boost.
And man, we're going to talk soon. I know it.
Yeah, I'll call you later.
Cool.
We got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there you go. Go get ready for class. I'll catch you later.
Thank you.
All right, man. So,
bye, guys.
So I think that, listen, you know me. Like, I think the best part of some of this stuff is the fact that we get to have these great conversations.
Yeah.
And this is no different. And I think that if you are out there and you find this podcast, especially if you're kind of – whether you watch one of the two channels that we've talked about today, and I don't really want to get into it because, the thing is like I never want to throw or appear that we're throwing shade at anybody. Everybody has their own path, and there's so many things that we will never be privy to because we're not behind the scenes of everything. You know what I mean? But it was important for me to at least allow Alberto to say the thing that I know was fact.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a tremendous amount of respect for Adam and his channel. He didn't leave with animosity. He's, it's still his boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that, they always started as friends, I think that always leads you back there. You know what I mean?
Well, so. And I think that's one of the most important things that I'm sure everyone here has been through is kind of going through their own path, and this is his path, and not only that, he's doing very well in it. And I'm excited to see what he's going to continue doing.
Yeah.
Obviously he's become a professor to him getting on the track. These are steps forward for him, and it's exciting to see, you know?
Yeah. No, it is. It is. It absolutely is. So that's pretty much it. We're going to wrap up. Listen, thank you for watching. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify, we appreciate you. Make sure you get subscribed to the YouTube channel, because it's the place where we're going to do giveaways and a whole bunch of different things, and you'll only find out about them on our YouTube channel, Koenig Wheels USA. Also, don't forget, we drop a piece of content every Friday. Last Friday was my garage tour, which is weird for me because I don't think it's that cool, but some people think it's cool. So
man, I think it's cool.
So. So we got that going on. And don't forget that we do the whole live preceding this podcast every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook and Instagram. Swing through, come by, ask some questions. We'll give you some answers. And that's pretty much it.
By the way, sorry.
No, you're good.
What I want to say is, if you guys have any guests that you guys want to see on this, because that's one of the things that I kind of want to get more. You know, we get a lot of our people on here.
Yeah.
But if there's a guest you want to see on here and maybe we can get them on.
Yeah.
Hey, why not? DM us, message us.
Or throw it in the comments already below.
You know, or throw it in the comments, even better.
Throw it in the comments. If you like, if there's somebody specifically you'd like to see us talk to, you know, obviously we like to have a relationship with them first, but. You know, never know. There might be some things that we can kind of work our way into.
Yes, sir. So
that's it. Take care of yourself. Have a good Wednesday, and we will catch you back here next week.
Peace.